from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
We are out broadcasting live from the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville.
As I'm walking through Radio Row at SEC Media Days,
oh no,
there were three different stations called the Sports Animal.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
All called the Sports Animal, or each was a different animal?
No.
Was it like the Sports Alpaca?
They were, no.
The Sports Vicuña.
Every one of them was called the Sports Animal.
The Sports Python.
You sound like clones. Wait a minute. They are clones. Don't let their identical DNA fool you. They differ on some key issues.
The absurdity of that. It was pretty great, man.
Sports.
There should also be a sports vegetable and a
mineral.
Sports mineral.
Yeah.
Right?
106.1, the sports vegetable.
The best part of this is nobody is laughing at Brickhouse.
I don't. They don't get it.
Stupid TV. Be more funny.
That's one. Be very, very quiet. This is the sports animal from Tampa. It's the mating season.
The sand people are easily startled, but they'll soon be back, and in greater numbers.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Funny to me, damn it. That's all that matters. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Happy Tuesday. Bernstein and Holmes with you with a ton to do today. We've got Cubs victory and Cubs news, Cubs analysis. We've got the Bears practicing. I've been wanting to talk to Brian Bannister since he, and I can't remember if we did talk to him when he was a player on the Royals, because we talked about him a lot, because he was sort of the darling of a lot of the stat heads because of his embrace of analysis and analytics that he brought to the dugout and the bullpen with Zach Greinke. And now he's the White Sox, which is titled Senior Pitching Advisor. So we'll find out what he's doing, truly. Mike Farron is going to join us. A great baseball mind is going to be with us at 1 o'clock. And then Jeremy Werner, the publisher of IlliniInquirer.com, can talk Big Ten, be out and beyond the Illini, because Jeremy Werner is just really smart and knows a lot about stuff. So those are the people we like to put on the show. That's how it works.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'm excited because we can kind of go in a bunch of different places with today's show. Obviously, we'll hear from Emma coming up in the next segment from Bears camp. So we'll get people and we'll see how loud the music is and how far away the reporters are from where the players are.
Yeah. And we'll get, it sounds like an anxiety dream that I have, the play by play dream, where the visiting radio is in a place where you can't see the game. And I try to mention that to him. They say, well, nobody else says anything. You're the only one who seems to have a problem with it. But I literally can't see the game. It sets me off a little bit to hear that they just keep moving the reporters further and further and further away. Ray Diaz, our executive producer. Adam Studzinski is our sound man. Brandon Fryer helps out today. Connor O'Donnell is handling the video feed. So I guess Jed pretty much said it. That, yeah, we'll do our best, but we're not really investing in this year's team at this point.
It doesn't sound like it, and I don't know if that's some sort of Jedi mind trick that he's doing to try and force the players to be better, to force his hand. And Ian Happ said in the post game yesterday that their job is to make Jed's job difficult by playing well. They're still not playing well, but they got the win yesterday because Milwaukee played drunk. They were drunk in last night's game. You got just the ball going through people's gloves on pickoff throws, double plays that end up in center field. There was a nonsense that should have been sent, bad sends. It was a lot of bad yesterday from Milwaukee. And for the Cubs to only score three, it felt like, man, you are really tempting fate here. You're really tempting fate.
Isn't that the theme of a lot of the Jed Hoyer Cubs have been?
Yes.
Making things less in your control because you're not slugging your way into control.
It was also interesting that John Lester spoke about something that we've been talking about on this show for weeks. Are we going to get the, at the end of the season, well, there's a huge piece of cartilage in my knee and I could play through it, but I wasn't my best when it comes to Dansby Swanson.
It also looks to me like Swanson isn't really planting that right leg on some of his throws where he's getting it and he's whipping it. He's getting rid of it, but he's not really setting and firing. So maybe I don't think Lester says that unless he knows something, right?
I think that even if he doesn't know something, him being able to kind of his level of perception when it comes to baseball things is pretty high. So I'm good with rolling with his speculation on it and wondering at the end of the year, will that explain away what's going on? Because if it doesn't,
then that's a bad.
You have a real contract. Big problem yep. on your hands if you're the Cubs.
You may anyway. Lester needs an energy level boost. His stuff is good. The content's good. But, man, come on now. Pick it up a little bit.
No, I want him to be him.
I want him to be. But if he's going to broadcast, just give me a little bit extra.
Well, that probably comes with comfort. You got to let him get some reps
in.
Yeah.
Usually does. But that would be if he's asking for notes, content's great. Jump in there, give me a little bit more energy because the airwaves, the camera, these cords and microphones, they eat up energy. So you got to double it.
Narrator, Lester did not ask Dan for notes.
Those are my notes. So you can take that into take it under advisement.
I would love to see you give the notes to John Lester's sure. face and see how he reacts.
I know exactly the expression that would be on his face.
But he actually might take them because he's a really smart dude.
And a great interview.
He might go, oh, okay, yeah, maybe you're right. And then change his game up.
Or he might just smack me. Who knows?
He might. He's a big man.
Yes, he is. He's a very large human being. Jed Hoyer did talk yesterday, and I really didn't have to speak general manager at a graduate level to understand what he was saying about his team. And there was a lot, but I think the essence of it is in here when he talks about their specific trade deadline focus now.
I think the next seven games, obviously matter. Certainly we saw what can happen last year, so you sort of never firmly put your feet, plant your feet. You have to be able to be nimble. But I think where we are right now, I would say that, moves only for 24. I think unless things change over the next week, I think we probably won't do a lot of moves that only help us, for this year. If moves help us, in 25 and beyond, I think we're still exceptionally well positioned. I think that's what our focus will be. But just helping in 24, I think that probably won't be our focus unless things, change dramatically.
Yeah, how much could things really change though in the next week? I mean, you've seen this team, what are we, 100 games or whatever. How much could it really, 7 games, affect anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we saw it last year. I think we went from 700 to basically getting back to 500 in that stretch. And so obviously things can change, but certainly, yes, the expectation is that, I think we have a good sense of where we are and our game plan going forward, but you never know what happens in a seven-game stretch.
You kind of mentioned it in your previous answer, but this team was constructed to be entering this period of sustained success. Yeah. How important is 25, 26, and not kind of saying, hey, this didn't work? and you gotta like hit reset or something.
I mean, I think that would be a you know, saying it like that, I feel like would be a mistake. I think that we obviously started out the year well. We showed before the break that we can play well. We had 2 months of playing really poorly, and that obviously put us in a poor position. But I think when you look back on what this group largely did, this group together largely did last year, and then you know especially from a run differential standpoint last year, and then you factor in the fact that we added Imanaga and Bush to that. I think the future is really bright, given the farm system. And so I think that, deciding, is like that's too much of a declarative statement. I feel really good about how we're positioned, for the future and beyond. And so I think our moves will reflect that at the deadline.
As blank slate plays behind him. And that is a long way of saying this team's probably not worth it.
I think it's blank space.
Blank space, excuse
blank
me.
Blank space.
Excuse me, I misspoke.
Oddly, it feels right for some reason. The tone of that, just that song and what Jed's saying, just I don't know why I can't quite put my finger on it, but I was listening to it this morning, and I'm like, it feels too perfect, and I don't know quite why.
Jed loves to kick things down the road. Loves it.
You can't just write off a season like it's a losing quarter for a business.
That's how he talks about it. And it's like if there were things that you were hoping that he would have picked up, and I get that they are always, they as a group, whether it's Theo and Jed or Jed and Carter, as a group, that they do like to keep the long term in focus. But I wish he would have picked up the idea of every opportunity is precious. And you had an opportunity and you didn't go for it. And these are the types of results that you get. I also think that I wonder how they're going to look at their own evaluations. That's why I asked Carter the last time he was on. Like, maybe your course is the wrong course. And what things do you have in place that will allow you to really examine yourself and your approach to team building that won't allow this to be the case going forward? And them continuing to talk about the hot streak that happened last year. Well, we're kind of past the point where that started for the team last year.
It was also a trap.
It's a trap.
It also led them to invest in something that probably wasn't worth it. They did not rise to that investment, to that stamp of validation, and they didn't meet it halfway. They said, oh, we believe in you. Oh, gee, we're going to lose a bunch of games, and our manager's fired.
Right. I don't agree with the idea of not investing in, like, I don't think this is a World Series team. When you look at them, it's hard to even imagine that. Last year's team, like, that was a sustained, that was in a half a season run that team went on to get themselves in contention. Now, they fell apart, and that's the part that whenever Jed or Carter brings it up, that they fail to mention. Sure, your team had a 92% chance of making the playoffs. You did not make the playoffs. So while the 80-game sample of you guys going crazy from the time that you got back from London until things fell apart in Colorado is great, you didn't finish it. And then you went into the offseason and didn't build upon that. Like you kept kind of going with the same theory of how you're going to go about team building. And it hasn't worked. And you may have ended up with the moves that you've made over the last 2 years, and there are some moves that they've made that have been great. And this season alone, the Michael Bush move is great. The Shota Imanaga move is great. But there was still a lot of them thinking that some of the stuff was going to happen again. One of your biggest offensive forces last year is a guy that's not on the roster this year. That was something that you had penciled in. You haven't been able to get the sustained offensive production from your catching position. Christopher Morel's in a worse place than he was last year, even though the numbers would lead you to believe that he's in a better place from a hitter standpoint. there's a lot to there's a lot for them to address.
Well, and you mentioned the shortstop too, and there isn't much that you can't do anything about it right now. I don't know if he's hurt or not, but he's not good. And that's been a tremendous hole.
Yeah. And so you have to start thinking about, like, you brought it up a couple weeks ago, like the idea of there might be a redundancy in your outfield. You got two guys, you get two guys that are probably about the same guy, except one's better defensively. And then you get another guy that's playing center field for you every day that can't hit. Well, what part of the game is that? Like, what part of your plan is that?
When you're trying to develop somebody at the major league level and trying to compete, you love to watch them run around out there. You love to watch them run the bases. But at some point, you got to consistently put the bat on the ball. Like, when he goes down 0-2 now, it's like, change the channel.
Well, the him being out on fastballs, too, and you can see it in the at-bats. Pitchers are not afraid of Dansby Swanson in the zone.
Oh,
they were 94 in the zone yesterday, challenging him with fastballs. And I'm sure it's incredibly frustrating for everyone over there on the baseball ops side. And if you want to punt on 2024, fine. Whatever. But make sure that when you go into this offseason, that you look at the way that your process worked and you challenge yourself to go, are we really doing the best job? Or are we continuing to offer Cubs fans something in the future? We continue to offer, well, we're really set up. Our farm system's really good. Okay.
Yeah, but your farm system isn't going to be producing a bell cow middle of the order bat. There's a lot of serviceable arms. There's a lot of decent players. The one thing they've done is I think they have, and a lot of teams are doing this
set
now.
Set a floor.
They've blurred the line between the bottom quarter of your major league roster and the top of AAA. And that's great. I think that's good for baseball.
Well,
I think to have some interchangeability in those guys, rather than have AAA just be sort of a repository for 4A types or for old guys who can fill a position for a week. It's nice to have younger players you can churn around with all those options.
But aren't we closing in on the point where Pete Crow Armstrong is no longer a prospect?
Yes. Yeah, he's got a hit.
Because I think I know who he is. I mean, I want him to give him a few more hundred at-bats, but I think I know who he is. I think that he is a plus-plus defender who can't hit.
His WRC plus is 50. 50. That's almost unplayable as an offensive player.
Yep. We're going to get back to the Cubs at 10:45, so stick with us. Next, if you're a Bears fan, we will give you a live Bears camp report with our guy Chris Emma.
Yes.
We'll see what the air horns sound like and the speakers sound like at Halas Hall. And we will do that next. Bernstein and Holmes here on The Score.
We've got a massive edition of the Parkinson Spiegel Show coming up today as we are live from the field at Wrigley Field ahead of Cubs and Brewers. We're on the field for batting practice. We've never done this before. That means Craig Counsell in person, Nico Horner in person, and a bunch more surprises planned. Be with us 2-6 on The Score.
This segment is sponsored by Audi Exchange Highland Park. It's the Summer of Audi sales event at Audi Exchange of Highland Park and St. Charles. Choose from Chicagoland's largest selection of new Audis and now get 0.99% financing on select new 2024 Audis. Visit AudiExchange.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality.
You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
In terms of, you guys, right, I see that you guys got shade now in the bleachers, right? I mean, this is pretty amazing now. You need to thank George, Kevin, you know, when you see him, right, and then Ryan, right? That was them getting it done. And what I'm going to do, next thing, I'm going to bring lemonade out there for y'all. So I think you guys will be all set up.
Yeah, as long as, you know, there's some tequila or some vodka there. Come on, Floozy. Hook him up, man.
I appreciate him even joking about it. Like, this is a level of comfort with him that we have not seen. So I'm glad that we're seeing it.
You know how I feel about it. I think you're setting a great example, and I am rooting for Floose 2.0. I hope whatever it is works. Bears training camp underway at Halas Hall. And Mark Grody's next installment of Training Camp Live is tonight from 6 to 6:30 right here on The Score, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It is time for our Bears Report with Chris Emma. He is on Twitter at CEmma670. The 670 The Score Bears reporter is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. You can hear the natural sound of practice in the background. What are you seeing, Chris?
What's up, guys? Yeah, no lemonade from the sideline so far. We do have those covers, as Flusa mentioned. They went through a light walkthrough before practice, as they often do, as they typically do. Now done with stretching, and they are moving to the far field. We're going to get some ones versus ones action coming up soon.
Emma, instead of lemonade, wouldn't you prefer that you were closer to watching the practice instead of getting a glass of lemonade from Flusy?
Yeah, I think that would be much preferred. We would take that, but we'll settle for the lemonade. That'll work. When life gives you lemons, et cetera, why not?
So since ones versus ones is going to be the thing today, what matchup do you have circled that you're looking forward to?
I know this is a general answer, but really any of those top receivers against any of those top corners. Like, they can mix it up. You can move somebody like a Keenan Allen to the slot or outside. You can have Jalen Johnson against a DJ Moore. However you want to line it up, like, you've got strength on strength. I love what Jalen Johnson said. He said it's like Bama versus Georgia. And what he means by that is you're going up against five stars. You're going up against guys who are on your same level. And it's going to make you better to the point where when you get into those games, you're not facing five stars. You're facing some three stars. You're ready for these guys. Like, they truly believe it, you know, the old expression, iron sharpens iron. They believe that they actually have iron on both sides now. So all that coupled with the fact that you got a young quarterback in Caleb Williams who's working through these things and getting challenged by a really tough defense, it's been great matchups to watch so far.
What have you enjoyed? What individual drills or individuals have caught your eye?
I mean, for me, it's when you get in like the 2 minute, whether it's 7-on-7 or full on 11-on-11, you get Caleb Williams really tested. They had a 2 minute to end practice yesterday. I had Caleb at about 4-of-6 for 40 or so yards. We didn't get the exact count, but look, what you saw was Caleb Williams in a tough situation. He's trying to lead the guys downfield. And you see a lot of the natural things that you wanted to see. Climbing the pocket, understanding where he needs to get to put the ball on the spot, working with those receivers, those top guys like DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. Like, you see the natural progressions and growth for Caleb Williams, which is what we've seen on film. It's great to see it now live in person at a fuller speed. They get the full pads this weekend now when you're really going to get a sense of how Caleb Williams can respond to the speed. But whenever they get in those kind of two-minute situations, it's really something to watch. And so far, so good for Caleb Williams. He looks really comfortable. It's everything that we thought we were going to be seeing from this guy. He looks the part so far.
I know that we have to kind of throw out all the caveats of it's practice, guys are not in pads, no one's going to hit the quarterback. Is there anything that you were looking for with Caleb Williams that you feel like through a few practices, whether we're talking about now or even back into minicamp, you're like, oh, okay, I see why people think that this guy is special?
Yeah, it's the processing I'm looking for. I mean, that was a red flag with Justin Fields the last few years when in practice you could see he's holding onto the ball too long and either he would take a sack, not getting hit, of course, but a play would break down, or he would tuck it and run or throw it away. You could see to the naked eye in practice that Justin Fields was holding on too long and he wasn't processing right. And, man, those warning signs were there throughout the course of the last few camps and actually last year. It's different with Caleb. He's got that processing element. I've talked to people around the league who believe day one for him as a rookie, he will be one of the best processing quarterbacks in the league. It's one of his great strengths and one of the reasons why he's been so successful to this point. So that's a big box to check in training camp, where it is different. You're learning a different scheme. You're still building chemistry with the receivers. You're understanding what you're looking at in coverages. And he looks very comfortable with it so far. It comes very natural for him. He's getting the ball out quickly. He's pulling the trigger on throws that Justin Fields wasn't seeing, and he wasn't ready to make that kind of move. And he's hitting them in stride. So it is practice. Yes, that's the caveat. We're going to see a lot more once we get into the preseason and ultimately into week one. But I like what I see so far from Caleb Williams.
How active has Matt Eberflus been around the offense? Have you seen him there? Is he interacting with what's going on that side of the ball?
Yeah, you can catch him when they break into individual drills, moving through different groups, and in particular with the offensive groups. I think it's a big focus on the offensive line. They feel really good about the depth that they have with that spot, and I think for now they are intent on making that a competition. But you can see Eberflus, look, I think one of his great strengths as a head coach is he brings in good assistants for the most part around him, and he trusts these guys. And I think he really trusts these coordinators and them to lead each respective group where he can truly take on that CEO head coach type role and move through different position groups and see what does this group need in the meeting times, going from one meeting room to the next, kind of bouncing through, letting those assistants lead the group and also understanding what's happening there. So he's very active, and you can see it in practice. I'm looking at him right now, and he's staring off to the quarterbacks in the 7-on-7 work here. So he takes an active role in that.
Let me ask about a decision the Bears seem to have made regarding the future of Tevin Jenkins. Obviously, there are relatively cordial negotiations that are ongoing, but the Bears' decision to tell Jenkins that, look, we'll talk in the bye week, tells me that the message has been sent. Don't get hurt and show that your arrow is pointed up, and then we'll understand how much you're worth, because it's hard to pay a guy who's not on the field.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And look, to that point, when they made that move for Ryan Bates and then ultimately to bring in Coleman Shelton as well, those are contingency plans. The reason why they have this center battle going is more so about the guards than the center. They understand you got availability issues with both Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis. And both of those guys are out there today. They've been out there so far. But those injuries continue to pop up for them. Ryan Bates is your next man up at either guard position. You missed Davis for a lot of training camp last year. You missed Jenkins for a lot of training camp and ultimately to the start of the season. I don't think they're ready to say Ryan Bates is our starting center until you know for sure that those guards are set. Now, Dan, to what you're talking about with the big picture, in theory, Tevin Jenkins, when he's healthy, is one of the better guards in the league, and I think they would love to re-sign that guy, but you got to be realistic. Ryan Poles is doing that. I appreciate that he's not rushing to the negotiating table. Go prove it, kid. The best negotiating point and the best motivator for a guy like Tevin Jenkins is you're in that contract year. You can make yourself a lot of money, and he saw that with Quinn Meinerz in Denver. That's a good buddy of his. That guy got paid top guard money. Tevin Jenkins can get that kind of money if he goes out there for 17 games and proves it, or he could be a guy who's signing as a backup next offseason and settling for whatever he can. So it's all right before him. He can go get that deal if he wants it, if he can stay out there. And obviously, for the Bears' perspective, they want to go see it.
Emma, what have been your impressions of Shane Waldron since you've now gotten a chance to talk to him a few times?
Yeah, he's very detail-oriented. He's very focused, in particular with Caleb Williams, on little things. Obviously, the processing elements, getting in and out of the huddle, going through the cadence elements, and checking those initial boxes. And I think I'm really curious to see how he adapts to the scheme from where it was left before him. Obviously, it's the same kind of offense that was run by Luke Getsy, and it's a different play caller. You better see different stylings, because Luke Getsy's greatest fault was in the play calling element. But you've got great personnel now for this specific scheme, where you feel like your offense is set and you've got everything you need to be successful. Now it's about evolving the scheme for a young quarterback while also realizing that you've got some win now pieces, a guy like a DeAndre Swift and your receivers. And I think Shane Waldron feels really good about kind of the way that this thing is set up for him. I'm curious to see how he puts his own twist and spin on this scheme.
Do we know if Shane Waldron is going to be calling games on the field or from the booth?
That's a good question. I've not asked that. I know he's been on the field previously in Seattle. There's T-Man with the horn.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been on the field before. I would imagine he would continue to that point, but okay. That's a good question for next time.
I think he's talked about it before, but sometimes these guys figure it out and decide closer to the season. So I want to see how the operation works.
Yeah, and to that point, working alongside a guy like Matt Eberflus, does Eberflus want him in the booth or on the sideline? Is that going to change based on what Luke Getsy did previously? It's a good question, and I think that matters a lot when you have a rookie quarterback going as well.
When it comes to these practices, you know, you can see like the 7-on-7 stuff or the ones versus ones. When you're watching special teams, because they'll have a bunch of those special team sessions, what are you watching now?
Yeah, more in particular, when you get to mid to late August, you can kind of carve out the bottom of the roster and those guys who are going to stay and who's going to be cut based on who's playing key roles in special teams. And we'll talk with our guy Richard Hightower on Friday, who always kind of breaks it down for us, and you'll get a sense of kind of what he's looking at as well. But it's a great determining factor of who's going to be on the roster as you get into the 53 and head into the regular season. And for these guys who are fighting for a spot, that's the ultimate motivator, is earn your role on special teams. Stick around here for the regular season and see what you can do long term. So especially once you get into these preseason games where these guys know you're putting meaningful film out there and this is your chance to make an impression, those guys are going 110% in special teams.
If you had to choose right now, if you had to make a pick, who would be your pick to be punt returner?
I think it's going to be Roma Dunze. They've kind of messed around with this before. We've heard DJ Moore's name mentioned in the past and that it just didn't really come to fruition. I think they're serious about Roma Dunze being that guy. We're going to find out eventually. You know, he's just part of that rotation for now, and I think they want to see his comfort as well. But they love that skill set. They believe that is a major asset for them. I think he's going to be that guy so far.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a way for him to get on the field. And Emma, I think that Rome, and I think you and I talked a little bit about this, he's in an interesting position because you've got two guys who are established at their wide receiver spot. So for Rome, how does he get on the field? What are the things that will allow him to make sure that they're running 11 personnel and that he's a factor offensively?
Yeah, it's all about consistency with your routes and knowing your assignments. And we've seen a lot of talented receivers with speed and with abilities come through, and they look lost when you put them out there with a first-team offense. Rome has mastered his route so far. We've heard the coaches really sing his praises. Matt Eberflus, at the end of the offseason program, asked who stood out. He didn't hesitate. He said Roma Dunze. They really see this guy at an advanced level and putting in the work to be successful and to know his role as a rookie. I think they have absolute faith in him to be that guy and to be a key part of this offense. We've seen it early on in camp where he is out there with the ones. He is getting targeted by Caleb Williams. There's no training wheel so far. There's no concerns about where he is. And we know Matt Eberflus trusts rookies to play key roles. So I think Roma Dunze is going to be a major factor in this offense.
Chris Emma, great stuff. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
That's Chris Emma from our staff. You can read his work on 670thescore.com. He made it through. He didn't have to run from the speakers.
No, strong stuff.
I thought it was really strong stuff from Emma.
When we come back, let's get back to some of what we were discussing regarding the Cubs. The headline of the Jed Hoyer, the headline was, this team alone for this year is not worth significant investment.
Dan, however, he said something yesterday that I was fuming when I read the quote. And I'm wondering if it'll be diffused a little bit when I hear it, but I doubt it. So why don't we share it with the people, and then I'll explain what's making me so angry about it. We'll do that next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Score.
And 670thescore.com. An Odyssey station.
Our job in the clubhouse right now is to make it tough on Jed. You know, it's going out and playing good baseball and putting ourselves in a position where we can get back in this thing. I think the nice part about wildcard situation is it's all bunched up right now, and you know, we got plenty of baseball left. Just got to keep playing the way we are.
All right, well, you got to play much better than you are. I mean, you got to win out right here. You just win two out of three or three out of four for the rest of the season. You'll be all right.
And winning this series would be a really big step.
Sweeping it.
Even winning it, sweeping. I think, is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, the difference between winning it.
Who let the brooms out?
They're out. They're out. It's good. They're running around. I saw one of them when I walked in. One of the brooms just came by. I think he was still drunk.
No, that was the Brewers yesterday. You can watch them play. By the way, Parkins and Spiegel are going to be at Wrigley Field today doing their show from 2 until 6. Nico Horner is going to join them, Craig Counsell, and other special guests prior to Cubs Brewers. So tune in today. Our transition segment will be around 1:50 or so, and you'll hear the boys talking about all those things on The Score in the free Odyssey app.
And our baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
So when we get our cut sheet of here's what the slugs for things that people said, it doesn't always, it never really gives us context or like a long quote, because it's really just there to let us know what the subject was. So I'm reading Megan Montemurro today in the Tribune, and I saw this quote from Jed, and I was like, man.
I think that's a lot of it. We didn't play the Central at all in April, and we were playing really well. Now, we weren't playing the Central when we started playing well prior to the break, and then we played the Central a lot in May and June when we were really struggling. So I think some of that is when we play teams, and I think that's one of the things we talk about so much in today's game. There's a lot more parity. There's very few teams that are at the bottom of the league, and so much of it comes down to when you play teams. You play when they're hot, and you play them when they're not. And I think that, unfortunately, like our pocket of playing the Central was at a bad stretch.
Hot pocket.
Shout out to Jim Gaffigan. They've played 100 games, Dan.
Yes,
like.
Bad pocket.
They have played 100 games. And Megan wrote a great paragraph afterwards where she kind of like mockingly was like, well, we're looking forward to that scorching hot session that Jed thinks his team is capable of. And maybe they are. But this idea of, well, we were playing really bad when we played all these teams from the Central. Most of your season has been bad. Most of it's been bad. Like, it's almost like it. I was talking earlier about the Jedi mind trick. Early on, it's, well, you know, things. It's early. You know, early on,
they were playing great.
Right, but when we got to May, well, it's early, you know, and we had this really good stretch. And that went all the way into June with them talking about, oh, well, you know, we played really well in April. Right. Most of this season, because you haven't played great in July.
There's a lot of shell game going on.
A ton of it.
There's a lot of shell game of now it's time to look here and now it's time to look here. But now look back at here and apply that to this. What eats at me a little bit is that last year's investment in the 2023 team at the deadline was based on what? A hot pocket. Hot pocket. A hot pocket,
lean pocket.
But they had that, and it gave you fool's gold. So is that what you want? Is just a differently timed hot streak? Why not just make the team better at baseball all the time? More likely to win on a nightly basis.
In May and June, the Cubs were a combined 21-34. It's 2 months of baseball where you were bad. And even now, when you're winning, but you're not playing well, you're only three games above in July. But this idea of, oh, it really feels like woe is me when I hear Jed talk about this stuff. Well, I mean, we caught the Pirates at a bad time. The Pirates are above 500, sir. They've been playing better baseball than you.
Yeah, they caught you. Think about how these other teams look at the way it timed up against the Cubs, where they thought, hey, we're playing the Cubs. The Cubs are the big boys of the block. This is the major market team in the division, and all they're saying is, yeah, we beat them. That was their hot pocket because they were playing your team that isn't as good.
Yeah, and it just feels like some of this stuff, there's a lot of soft scouting that Jed's doing when he's trying to explain away this stuff. Where it's like, well, it's the time of the year and the sun was in guys' eyes. And like that, it doesn't seem concrete enough of saying we're not doing what we need to do. And I get that his declaration that I'm not going to help this team this year is him admitting to that.
That's correct. That is the correct evaluation of his team.
But inside of trying to explain why your team is not competitive, and in the last two seasons, you've had to scramble to be competitive. That, to me, is the frustrating part. The Cubs shouldn't be in a position where that's the case. The team that you put together, it shouldn't have to depend on a really hot streak at an opportune time.
They have left this team to be buffeted by the winds of baseball fate and captain variance. And you shouldn't have to. You should, with a payroll like this, he's not even going to bother, I think, with the remainder of the season. He's off in other universes, bringing variance to other times and places. But I think that it loses sight of the fact that you can control your own fate a whole lot more if you just hit the ball over the damn wall more often.
Sure, but that would mean that you would have to put a team together to do that. And that would mean that you had to guess right on some of the choices that you made. And unless Dansby Swanson is hurt, you may have made a terrible mistake with long-reaching consequences. Because if there was one thing I was expecting from Dansby, and even looking at his career, I was expecting there to be him hitting for more power, even if that meant, you know, he wasn't, like, I expected him to sacrifice for slug.
A little power should age well.
Because that's what he had been doing. If you look at his last three seasons, that's where he had been. And for a guy to fall off the table, what is he now? Like around 600 OPS on the season? Is that right for him? Like that may have been a huge mistake if this can't be explained away with him being injured.
Swanson is slashing 213, 286, 345. It's a WRC plus of 79.
You can't have him and Pete Crow Armstrong in your lineup every day. And he and Pete Crow Armstrong are in your lineup every day.
And still trying to figure out if the catching position.
Right. That strength up the middle.
That's a third of your batting order that's giving you nothing.
The strength up the middle has not been so good defensively that it counteracts how bad it's been offensively. So maybe that is something that you should go and look at in the offseason. Maybe there's a change in approach that has to happen when you start to look at the building. But every time I hear, there are two things that I've kind of tired of Jed saying. That breakdown of the schedule is one of them. And the other one is kind of reflexively talking about last year without telling the entire story.
Come on.
No, seriously. The story is a good one where your team did rally. And then, like, it's like they want to finish the story in the fourth act. Like, oh yeah, and then we rallied and we were gonna be a playoff team. Wait a minute, what do you mean gonna be?
What happened?
Don't worry about that. Wasn't there a whole other month of baseball left to play? Yeah, but the story really is how good we were for that stretch where we were competitive and we're leading the wild card race. Oh, that sounds like a great story. I'd love to know how it ended. How did it end?
Dad,
You don't want to know. Really, the story is about the friends we made along the way.
It's the journey. That's all it was. Just for the record here, Dansby Swanson among qualified shortstops this year is 20th in WRC+. And it's a big drop-off to number 19. But you've got your four superstars at the top right now. Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr., Mookie Betts, and Carlos Correa. And then a drop-off to Elly De La Cruz and the next group
Mookie
there.
Mookie Betts hasn't played baseball in 6 weeks.
Still qualified, still at a 157 WRC+.
Henderson's played in 6 weeks.
Henderson's at a 168. Witt is 166.
Man, Bobby Witt Jr. Did you see him last night? That kid has got some go.
Bobby Witt Jr. is already worth 6.7 wins.
He is so good.
Think about that. You're 100 games in. He's almost a 7-WAR player.
It's pretty awesome.
Get one of those guys.
Yeah. 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 White Sox, if you're going to try to duplicate the Royals, let's just duplicate that.
Hey, we've got actual good news, encouraging news about a planned development around a sports arena. There's a way to do it. There's a way not to do it. This, I think, is the way to do it.
Yeah, let's discuss this. It's pretty interesting stuff. We'll do that next here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Score.
And 670thescore.com. An Odyssey station.
Our job in the clubhouse right now is to make it tough on Jed. You know, it's going out and playing good baseball and putting ourselves in a position where we can get back in this thing. I think the nice part about wildcard situation is it's all bunched up right now, and you know, we got plenty of baseball left. Just got to keep playing the way we are.
All right, well, you got to play much better than you are. I mean, you got to win out right here. You just win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 for the rest of the season, you'll be all right.
And winning this series would be a really big step.
Sweeping it.
Even winning it, I think, is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, the difference between winning it
and... Who let the brooms out?
They're out. It's good. They're running around. I saw one of them when I walked in. One of the brooms just came by. I think he was still drunk.
No, that was the Brewers yesterday. You can watch them play. By the way, Parkins and Spiegel are going to be at Wrigley Field today doing their show from 2 until 6. Nico Horner is going to join them, Craig Counsell, and other special guests prior to Cubs Brewers. So tune in today. Our transition segment will be around 1:50 or so, and you'll hear the boys talking about all those things on The Score in the free Odyssey app.
And our baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
So when we get our cut sheet of here's what the slugs for things that people said, it doesn't always, it never really gives us context or like a long quote, because it's really just there to let us know what the subject was. So I'm reading Megan Montemurro today in the Tribune, and I saw this quote from Jed, and I was like, man.
I think that's a lot of it. We didn't play the Central at all in April, and we were playing really well. Now, we weren't playing the Central when we started playing well prior to the break, and then we played the Central a lot in May and June when we were really struggling. So I think some of that is when we play teams, and I think that's one of the things we talk about so much in today's game. There's a lot more parity. There's very few teams that are that are at the bottom of the league. And so much of it comes down to when you play teams. You play when they're hot and you play them when they're not. And I think that, unfortunately, like our pocket of playing the Central was at a bad stretch.
Hot pocket.
Shout out to Jim Gaffigan. They've played 100 games, Dan.
Yes.
Like,
bad pocket.
They have played 100 games. And Megan wrote a great paragraph afterwards where she kind of like mockingly was like, well, we're looking forward to that scorching hot session that Jed thinks his team is capable of. And maybe they are. But this idea of, well, we were playing really bad when we played all these teams from the Central. Most of your season has been bad. Most of it's been bad. Like, it's almost like it. I was talking earlier about the Jedi mind trick. Early on, it's, well, you know, things. It's early. You know, early on,
they were playing great.
Right, but when we got to May, well, it's early, you know, and we had this really good stretch. And that went all the way into June with them talking about, oh, well, you know, we played really well in April. Right. Most of this season, because you haven't played great in July.
There's a lot of shell game going on.
A ton of it.
There's a lot of shell game of now it's time to look here and now it's time to look here. But now look back at here and apply that to this. What eats at me a little bit is that last year's investment in the 2023 team at the deadline was based on what? A hot pocket. Hot pocket. A hot pocket, a hot pocket.
Lean pocket.
But they had that. And it gave you fool's gold. So is that what you want? Is just a differently timed hot streak? Why not just make the team better at baseball all the time? More likely to win on a nightly basis.
In May and June, the Cubs were a combined 21-34. It's 2 months of baseball where you were bad. And even now, when you're winning, but you're not playing well, you're only 3 games above in July. But this idea of, oh, it really feels like woe is me when I hear Jed talk about this stuff. Well, I mean, we caught the Pirates at a bad time. The Pirates are above 500, sir. They've been playing better baseball than you.
Yeah, they caught you. Think about how these other teams look at the way it timed up against the Cubs, where they thought, hey, we're playing the Cubs. The Cubs are the big boys of the block. This is the major market team in the division. And all they're saying is, yeah, we beat them. That was their hot pocket because they were playing your team that isn't as good.
Yeah, and it just feels like some of this stuff, there's a lot of soft scouting that Jed's doing when he's trying to explain away this stuff. Where it's like, well, it's the time of the year and the sun was in guys' eyes. And like that, it doesn't seem concrete enough of saying we're not doing what we need to do. And I get that his declaration that I'm not going to help this team this year is him admitting to that.
That's correct. That is the correct evaluation of his team.
But inside of trying to explain why your team is not competitive. And in the last 2 seasons, you've had to scramble to be competitive. That to me is the frustrating part. The Cubs shouldn't be in a position where that's the case. The team that you put together, it shouldn't have to depend on a really hot streak at an opportune time.
They have left this team to be buffeted by the winds of baseball fate and captain variance. And you shouldn't have to. You should, with a payroll like this, he's not even going to bother, I think, with the remainder of the season. He's off in other universes, bringing variance to other times and places. But I think that it loses sight of the fact that you can control your own fate a whole lot more if you just hit the ball over the damn wall more often.
Sure, But that would mean that you would have to put a team together to do that. And that would mean that you had to guess right on some of the choices that you made. And unless Dansby Swanson is hurt, you may have made a terrible mistake with long-reaching consequences. Because if there was one thing I was expecting from Dansby, and even looking at his career, I was expecting there to be him hitting for more power, even if that meant, you know, he wasn't, like, I expected him to sacrifice for slug.
A little power should age well.
Because that's what he had been doing. If you look at his last three seasons, that's where he had been. And for a guy to fall off the table, what is he now? Like around 600 OPS on the season? Is that right for him? Like that may have been a huge mistake if this can't be explained away with him being injured.
Swanson is slashing 213, 286, 345. It's a WRC plus of 79.
You can't have him and Pete Crow Armstrong in your lineup every day. And he and Pete Crow Armstrong are in your lineup every day.
And still trying to figure out if the catching position.
Right. That strength up the middle.
That's a third of your batting order that's giving you nothing.
The strength up the middle has not been so good defensively that it counteracts how bad it's been offensively. So maybe that is something that you should go and look at in the offseason. Maybe there's a change in approach that has to happen when you start to look at the building. But every time I hear, there are two things that I've kind of tired of Jed saying. That breakdown of the schedule is one of them. And the other one is kind of reflexively talking about last year without telling the entire story.
Come on.
No, seriously. The story is a good one where your team did rally. And then it's like they want to finish the story in the fourth act. Like, oh yeah, and then we rallied and we were gonna be a playoff team. Wait a minute, what do you mean gonna be? What happened? Oh, don't worry about that. Wasn't there a whole other month of baseball left to play? Yeah, but the story really is how good we were for that stretch where we were competitive and we're leading the wild card race. Oh, that sounds like a great story. I'd love to know how it ended. How did it end,
Dad?
You don't want to know. Really, the story is about the friends we made along the way.
It's the journey. That's all it was. Just for the record here, Dansby Swanson among qualified shortstops this year is 20th in WRC+. And it's a big drop-off to number 19. But you've got your four superstars at the top right now. Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr., Mookie Betts, and Carlos Correa. And then a drop-off to Elly De La Cruz and the next group
Mookie
there.
Mookie Betts hasn't played baseball in 6 weeks.
Still qualified, still at a 157 WRC+.
Henderson's he hasn't played in 6 weeks!
Henderson's at a 168. Witt is 166.
Man, Bobby Witt Jr. Did you see him last night? That kid has got some go.
Bobby Witt Jr. is already worth 6.7 wins.
He is so good.
Think about that. You're 100 games in. He's almost a 7-WAR player.
It's pretty awesome.
Get one of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, White Sox, if you're going to try to duplicate the Royals, let's just duplicate that.
Hey, we've got actual good news, encouraging news about a planned development around a sports arena. There's a way to do it. There's a way not to do it. This, I think, is the way to do it.
Yeah, let's discuss this. It's pretty interesting stuff. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches.
Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.